Life is full of personal wins, whether it's cleaning your house, getting that dream car, or checking off your to-do list. Winning at life is a great feeling. And with the State Farm Personal Price Plan, you can keep winning when you create an affordable price just for you by bundling home and auto. So give yourself a round of applause. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/Wondery, code Wondery.
Welcome to the Nerds Podcast number 323. The Nerds TV show is back in production. We've shot two episodes. They were friggin' a blast. One episode had, we did a tribute to zombies, and so we had Robert Kirkman and Michael Rooker on, and we've got stand-up on the show now, so Kyle Kinane did a set, and it fucking worked so well, because we're in kind of a tight space, so the crowd is, like, right up on the comic, which is good for stand-up. The other show we did was, Buzz Aldrin was on, and Babak Ferdosi, and our friend Matt Kirshen, and so Karen Gillan did some stuff, too. So, super fun shows coming up. March 30th will premiere the same night as Doctor Who on BBC America. We sort of round out the night, so premiere Doctor Who, then Orphan Black, which is a new show from BBC America, and then the Nerdist TV show, Matt and Jonah and me, and Mike Furman, of course. So there you go. Follow us, watch the show March 30th. We have some insane guests coming up. I don't mean like literally clinically insane guests. I mean, they might be performers, you know, it's possible. But they're fucking guests that are relevant to your interests that I'm super excited that we were able to get. So that's March 30th, BBC America. All right. This episode of the Nerds Podcast is brought to you by LegalZoom. February, it turns out, is National Start Your Business Month. So start your business the month of February. If you've been putting it off, maybe expenses are tight or whatever, now LegalZoom can help you. LegalZoom.com if you want to set up an LLC, an S-Corp, a sole proprietorship, a nonprofit. They'll take care of you from start to finish. They have incredible customer service. They will guide you through the process if you need to. LegalZoom is not a law firm. They do provide self-help services at your specific direction. But there's so much more. Now every LLC and a corporation package includes easy-to-use business accounting software that has a $269 value for free. Be sure to enter Nerdist in the referral box at checkout. Start your business today. Protect your family and safeguard your assets at LegalZoom.com. Thanks for sponsoring this episode of Nerdist Podcast, which... it's getting a little sportsy. We're widening the net a bit. We've had some wrestlers on who were great. And this episode, I mean, the net's not widened too much. It's Chris Cluey. And just to let you know what a nice guy he is, I called him Chris Clue throughout the entire podcast, and he didn't correct me. I'm a dick. We were sort of set up on a nerd date on Twitter where people are like, you guys should know each other. And it worked out. So, Chris is the kicker for the Minnesota Vikings, a popular footballing team. Chris is also, which is really just a hobby of his, because he's one of the most intense gamers I've ever talked to in my life. His heart is in gaming. He must have collected his heart as part of some quest and then jammed it in his own chest. So we'd sort of talked about football a little bit, in as much as we can, and the rest of it was gaming, but such a fucking smart guy, and so great, and so... really, really fun podcast, and I don't know, it's possible. I don't know if I have a way into sports yet, but if I were to have one into football, it might be Chris Clue. I would actually watch just because he's so fucking cool. So here we go. Oh, by the way, he is at Chris Warcraft on Twitter. So you should follow his tweets, whether or not you're a sports fan, because he makes sports accessible to our kind. And I know a lot of our kind watches sports, but if you don't, then he might be your guy. Nerds Podcast number 323
with Chris Cluey,
or Chris Warcraft. Kicker for the Vikings. Just like real Vikings had a kicker. They kicked swords into villages to pillage them. Why are you rubbing your face?
I don't even know where you're going with that.
What? Well, I wasn't going anywhere with it. That's why I trailed off.
I slowly had to make the Vikings real Vikings for your brain to comprehend it.
I did. I really totally did. I want to trail off. Wait, who are you?
What?
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Like a football, he gets it. Shit. No, that's not good.
Not quite.
Test, 1, 2.
Chris, it's so good to see you. We started chatting online.
Chris is talking to himself right now.
Oh, that's gross. Yes.
I sure love the way I play football.
Listen, you guys met at Christian Mingle.
I was getting nothing on J-Date, so sure. I just switched over.
Well, it's only for Jay Leno and Jay Baruchel. Yeah, and
there's no J's in Chris at all.
J-Lo. No, when do you want to go out tonight? Or you want to keep speaking Spanish? But Chris... or AKA Chris Warcraft on Twitter. I know you for your nerd pursuits, but other people know you as playing football.
Yeah, occasionally punting for the Minnesota Vikings. it pays the bills and allows me to engage in a wide variety of nerdy pursuits. So it's a pretty awesome job.
But I shot a pilot for Comedy Central, and in the pilot for Comedy Central, we did a bit about you where I essentially referred to you as like the blade, where it's like all of our strengths, none of our weaknesses. The daywalker.
The Quisette Sateract.
We're going to get into this whole history of how this all happened with you. I don't know if there was a weird chemical spill near your birth, and so you got these looks and sporting abilities and then this brain to...
Radioactive bookworm.
It is radioactive bookworm gut. But first of all, I fucking love Minneapolis.
Okay.
It is a wonderful town.
Yeah, it's actually really nice. I was surprised when I first got there because, you know, I grew up in Southern California. I was born in Philadelphia, but my parents moved to Seal Beach when I was one.
Oh, so, nice.
Yeah, so I'm... for all intents and purposes, from Southern California.
The orange curtain you're behind.
Yes, exactly. Yes. But, so when I got to the Midwest, you know, I was like, okay, what's it going to be like? You know, is it just going to be Little House on the Prairie? Are we going to take wagon trains to work? Like, what's the deal here?
That's what happens.
But, no, Minneapolis is great. It's a great city, you know, very, very liberal, actually, and a lot of great things to do, and I was pleasantly surprised.
It's just, a lot of Target there.
Yes, a lot of Target there, and the only downside is the weather really, really sucks during the winter.
It really is. I don't know. It's so funny and I've said this a million times, but when you go to Minneapolis and it's like summer or fall, you're like, this is a great city. There's an art community. There's a music community. People, there's a lot of theater. People go watch comedy. Acme Comedy Club is there. It's great.
Yeah, my wife actually, she was out with me during the OTAs, off-season training activities, and which are in like spring and summer. And she's like, you know, if the weather was like this all the time, I'd love to live here. I'm like, that's why we live in Southern California. Yeah.
I know. And then for like 8 months out of the year, if you're not from there, you must be going, how do people do that?
Yeah. It's so cold.
But it makes you appreciate.
Quit acting like you don't play in a dome. Come on.
We got to play at Chicago and Green Bay. Those are kind of cool.
Yeah, I guess.
But it's also habit trail culture. Like they build the habit trail culture downtown.
Hamster tubes.
Yeah, they are. Total hamster tubes.
It was interesting. When I was walking through them, I noticed that if you couldn't see the streets below, like it would be a very apt representation of Coruscant. Because it's just this entirely contained
you
ecosystem.
Nerd.
Nothing you can. You're basically living in a crazy little
just a giant city that's all
which
indoors.
Which Coruscant? Like the Return of the Jedi Special Edition Coruscant, or the New Hope Coruscant?
I was thinking more of the extended universe. Novel Coruscant.
The extended universe. I just wrote an article for Wired about the extended universe and just about how. That it was really a great example of consumerism driving art, where it's like, you know, the fact that, you know, Walrus Man was in the movie for like a half a second,
exactly.
But you could still get the Walrus Man action figure, and then you then by virtue of that, you wanted to know more about Walrus
Man.
What's
his story?
So you had to fucking write it.
Yeah,
if you wanted more about Walrus Man, you had to fucking write it.
And let me just say, I would kill for a Grand Admiral Thrawn movie.
Now it could happen.
I would murder someone for that.
The industry's going to be lousy with Star Wars movies. There's going to be tons of Star Wars movies. There's going to be the Seven Samurai Star Wars movie. There's going to be the trilogy, the new trilogy. There's going to be... It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, we hope.
That's a word.
I'm excited about it.
Well, I look forward to seeing it. I hope it's good. I hope it's good.
No one hopes it's bad. Everyone hopes it's good.
Probably some.
I bet Lucas is like, I've got somewhere. My money. I hope it's terrible.
I have another wing on my money fort. I'm okay.
Money fort.
Made out of money.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah. Money fort.
And there are money servants.
It doesn't protect against money. It's made of money.
Money, yeah.
That's the money fort.
Well, there are money turrets probably. With people shooting money arrows. Yeah.
I love it.
Do you think he's just saving up to actually just build the Death Star one day?
I don't know what he's doing.
If anyone
he gives a shit ton of money away. He's a really, like, philanthropic gentleman, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, a lot of these guys, they just, at a certain point, they probably... There must be, I know this sounds really crazy. There must be a weird amount of guilt with acquiring that much wealth. Because I just feel like, by nature, you would feel like, I don't really feel like anyone should have this much money.
Yeah. Well, it's like... Once you get past, a couple million, what are you going to do with the rest of it? You have everything you need.
When I was several years ago, I was at the Punchline and I saw Dave Chappelle. It was after he came back after
going crazy.
Spirit journey, finding himself
in Africa,
smoking a lot of weed.
And
that was always the case.
He told the story. He was like, a lot of people say, "How could you turn down $50 million?" That's because I got $10 million in the bank. Like, the difference between me and someone $50 million? Nothing. We eat at the same restaurants. We even fuck the same girls.
Yeah, pretty much. It's, really. Once you get past a certain amount, what do you need it for?
Yeah. Nothing.
I guess it really. Well, like for instance, in Skyrim, I just keep amassing.
Right, you're never gonna spend it.
I have all these different houses all over Skyrim and Solstheim now, where I'm just collecting like cool armor and like I just need it. I have all this gold and nothing to do with it.
So do you think if we introduced all the billionaires to achievement points, they'd latch onto that instead?
Yes, I think that would be an excellent way to redistribute some of the.
Right.
What if we introduce them to Warcraft and they just buy gold with their money?
Oh my god! Now Warcraft is one of those games. I've been playing video games since there were video games, and. In 2003, I quit everything that I was addicted to at the time. I quit drinking, I quit smoking, I quit video game. I fucking sold all my video game stuff.
Wow.
And I was off for a few years. I know my personality, and I should never play WoW.
No.
Ever.
If you have any sort of addictive personality, WoW is not a good idea.
I know it's going to be. It's hard enough because Chloe, my girlfriend's been playing Minecraft lately. And so we've been watching Minecraft videos and watching these superstructures that people build. But
did you see someone recreated all of Westeros?
Oh, I did see King's Landing.
Yeah, they recreated King's Landing. This is like unbelievable.
Jeez. Yeah,
I mean,
it's really fucking hard to even just build a simple structure, much less anything with that much detail.
Yeah, I think it was like I was reading on it. It was like 100 people, and it took them almost 4 months or 5 months to create the entirety of King's Landing.
Oh god,
time well spent.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Amazing.
You missed the comma. It's time well spent.
Really. Are people still on Second Life, or is that did that?
Drew Carey is.
I think it's
Drew was. Yeah.
Drew Carey's still way into it.
Furries, maybe.
Furries into it, sure.
What are you playing right now on WoW? What's
Actually, I haven't played WoW in about 2 years.
Let's change up your Twitter name. Come on.
Yeah, well, it's my roots. My roots are Nintendo. Duck Hunt and Mario Brothers.
Duck Hunt.
But I stopped playing WoW around Cataclysm because I just got bored with raiding. It was basically don't stand in fire and you get loot.
Right.
And I learned how to do that during Burning Crusades. I was kind of like, why am I still playing the game? I know how to not stand in fire.
How much free time do you have during the year? Like, what does your season look like?
Season-wise, so I show up at the facility around 7:20 or so, eat breakfast, then we have meetings, get home around like 4 because we have practice meetings all day. I actually do maybe 40 minutes worth of actual work during that time, so a lot like everyone else with a 9-to-5 job. So then when I get home after four, you know, it's pretty much free time. With kids now, that's gone down a lot.
Sure.
But when it was just me and my wife, you know, that's four. Till,
kids are your
you know,
new 12. Warcraft.
Yeah, kids are the new Warcraft.
Don't stand in the fire.
Yeah, you got to level them up.
As quickly as possible. Are you ever just standing there playing a mobile game and then it's like, oh, I got to go kick this ball now. And then you just run and kick the ball and then go back to your phone.
If they would let me have a DS on the sideline, I would probably play a DS.
Why don't they fucking, you know, do you know how many Nintendo ad dollars that they're wasting?
It'd be huge.
But just letting you have a DS on the sidelines.
Yeah, it's when they ban Twitter also. You can't tweet during games.
What?
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's, well, apparently Ocho Cinco, Chad Ocho Cinco.
Sure.
Knee Chad Johnson was the one who started that, and they find him big time for that. I don't know why. I think it's because the networks want to have that time exclusively for them. And
oh,
if players
okay.
started tweeting and be like, "Well, you're giving people content we can't charge them for."
Yeah. Oh, that's really interesting.
They're gonna look at another screen.
Yeah,
I thought it was, and here I am thinking it was more about the fans going, "Hey, he's not paying attention to the game." No, it's because they can't monetize the tweets.
They can't make money off it.
Yeah. Well, why doesn't the NFL just create its own mini social network that all the players can, you know, like. That basically like pushes tweets through to this like social network.
Well, they did that during the Pro Bowl this year, where they allowed players to tweet during halftime, and then I think they let a couple guys, like, they have registered phones on the field where guys could tweet from it. But you know,
we're so fucking addicted.
Yeah.
There are tweet centers on the sidelines because you cannot go 4 hours without being connected.
Yeah. So it's really the NFL is always looking to expand its, you know, market share. And,
sure.
And you know, social media is now a huge thing. So they're like, okay, how can we get with the program?
Yeah, soon it's like winning a game will be like the amount of points you have and the amount of retweets and faves you have.
Yeah, yes,
it's
exactly.
going to be an algorithm of those two things.
Well, they're going to have to come up with some sort of a weird cross-platform, three-dimensional rating penetration, for lack of a better word.
Yeah.
Penetrating. I mean, like, you know, because you know, basically the television rating is one piece of the puzzle.
Mm.
And
if rating is really I guess pie is better.
Yeah.
And if the whole idea is to rate, you know, what cultural effect does this thing have? Mm-hmm. Then it's not just watching television anymore because people are on their devices or on their computers.
Yeah. It's social media. It's live streaming games. It's commenting on like Reddit, you know, stuff like that. It's there's you know, huge game threads on Reddit that get 10,000-12,000 comments from people.
Absolutely.
And that's for each game.
I think Bill Gates is doing an AMA right now.
Is he?
Can you feel it?
Guys, you can hear it.
Yeah.
It's like the song of the Ood.
Yeah. Did you just feel a twinge in your subreddit?
I did love it. Nice, well done.
You looked well bummed out after you said it.
I felt dirty about it. I will take my zero carbon rock star and move on.
That's some good chemical water.
Are there others in the NFL like you?
Not that I've met. I know there's guys that are active. Actually, the punter for the Bears, Adam Podlesh, he's big into WoW. There's lots of guys that are actually big into video games, but none, I don't think, quite so much as I am, in addition to the social media presence,
sure.
I guess you would say. So I've always been just kind of do my own thing. And you know what? Fuck them if they can't take a joke.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you know, because this whole idea of, I think some mainstream, obviously, I think, looks at the concept of nerd as what the idea in the 80s of that was.
Right.
And there's a whole generation of people that grew up with technology woven into their lives. And so it's just, you know, to hear, oh, yeah, that jock plays video games, or he's on, it's like, yeah, well, everyone does. Like, that's just the war culture now.
Yeah, exactly. It's like if you look at it, these are kids who grew up playing video games. They're now 21, 22. They have a ton of disposable income, and they have a lot of free time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, why would they not play more video games?
Why would they not play more video games?
I mean, it's no different than, you know, people getting, it's just the kind of, it's an immersive form of media, much the same that when movies exploded, you know, in the 30s, 40s, 50s, it's, you know, now the same people that got sucked in with that are, you know, you spend 40 hours with a video game,
you've bought into it.
Yes.
Like you're invested.
Yeah. You're in it. It is your personality. Yeah. You have melded your personality to it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and then especially, you know, with the internet and everything and just the ubiquitousness of iDevices, my 2-year-old knows how to unlock our iPhone and go to the app she wants to use.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, that's like, and that's how kids are growing up these days. Like, it's just part of their life. So, you know, as that generation grows up, you know, it's more and more technology is just part of what you do.
Yeah, there was a video online of like a toddler, like a 2-year-old, something like that. But like the parents have a magazine in front of it, and the kid starts trying to
try
trying to like touch the things and like not understanding that's like a physical thing.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't open up the pictures that are on the magazine.
Yeah,
what
yeah,
a
exactly.
dumb fucking kid.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
She'll be smarter than you in 3 years.
3 years? I'll give it one.
Right now.
But yeah, I mean, that's just the way the world's going, is that, you know, just more and more technology is being integrated into everyone's everyday life. It's no longer your computer is what you have in the basement and you need, you know, arcane rituals to interact with it. It's like, okay, you know, I hit whatever app I want and there it is.
Yeah.
It almost feels like football is your hobby.
Right. It kind of is. I mean,
and it doesn't mean that everyone in Minnesota.
No, I mean it. They know I do.
But, you know,
if anywhere in Minnesota.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, what is what's the average career span of an NFL player?
For a non-specialist, so non-punter or kicker, usually around 3 to 3.5 years.
Wow.
For a punter or kicker, it's about nine to ten. We tend to last a little bit longer just because the wear and tear on your body's not so much.
Right.
But, yeah, it's a very short lifespan. I mean, as a 31-year-old, I'm considered an old person in the NFL.
Ooh.
Which is, yeah, it's kind of weird.
Oh, that is weird. Yeah. Well, yeah, because they're getting guys right out of high school
and
college.
Right, yeah, 21, 22-year-olds, that's you know, there's always new blood coming in.
That don't realize that their bodies are writing checks that cannot be cashed later in life.
Later on, you're going to pay the bill for those.
Yeah.
No, I'm indestructible forever.
If you have money left to pay that bill.
Right,
well,
right,
it's so crazy when you see those, like, you know, 50-year-old, like, old football players, and they're just hobbling.
Right.
It's like, you know, their hips, their knees, everything's gone.
Well, I mean, we're not designed, we did not evolve to take hits and trauma.
No, we did, but we also evolved to die at 33.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was going to say.
Exactly. Yeah, even as a punter, I've had 4 knee surgeries already, all from football. They've all been football related. So it's like, yeah, it's just you get beat up playing the game. I mean, you're running around doing stuff to the utmost ability your body can do it, and sometimes things break.
What do you think happens to rugby players?
They probably are about the same. They look like they take a lot of abuse too, and they don't even get to wear pads.
No, they don't. It's just they're just like dudes who are running around hitting each other.
Yeah, it's always hard to tell if it's a rugby game or a fight.
Yeah, exactly.
It's usually the one and the same.
Although the thing with rugby that makes it slightly less impactful is that usually they're all moving the same direction. You know, when guys are tackled, they're wrapped up because they're moving kind of both to the side or both running forward. In football, it's a lot more head-to-head guys running into each other.
Sure.
So, you know, the forces involved it's very abrupt stopping as opposed to, you know, kind of a more gradual takedown.
That's why my dad had to stop playing football, is because, like, just like the head-on, you know, being in defense, like, just like it crushed his neck.
Just the constant.
Yeah.
Smashing into each other.
And now today, like, it's like up, you know, he's like in his 60s now, but he has to do these like exercises to just build up the muscles around his neck and shoulders so his neck just doesn't snap.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
But a guy like you has, I mean, I'm sure a lot of guys finish football and, like, let's say that, you know, at 30, which is actually, even though it may be old in the NFL, it's shockingly young now.
Right.
And then they, you know, they have 50 more years to figure out, well, now what do I do?
Car dealership.
Car dealerships, but what do a lot of the NFL guys do?
It's unfortunate, but a lot of them go broke because they don't know what to do. I mean, there's a stat, I think it's like 50 or 60% of NFL players will be broke within 4 years of being out of the league.
Well, it's got to be hard to go from no money to several million dollars. Mm-hmm. Like, what do you do? No one teaches. There's one failing of the educational system is to not teach kids how to handle money.
Right, how to budget. How to take care of yourself with your money. Because the other thing is that these guys get used to having paychecks coming in. You know, you're making $1 million, $1.5 million, $2 million a year. And that money has to last you the rest of your life. Only they're spending it as if they're going to keep making, you know, $1.5 to $2 million a year every year for the rest of their life. And you can't do that. I mean, that's math.
Hey, guys, it's math. I feel like we should do the, you know, like they do those Feed the Children ads.
Right, yeah.
We should do, oh my God, we should totally make a video
of
ex-NFL players. This is so-and-so who played for the, I can't even think of his name.
Did you just almost say Clippers?
No, I was going to say Cleveland Browns.
Oh, okay, good. I'm with you.
You know, he played for blah, 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 blah. Now he eats out of a trash can. Yeah, please help him.
It would get real sad.
There's a great documentary on the 30 for 30 series on ESPN, Broke, which is amazing. And it's about just this thing.
They handed us out a copy. Like, they put it in everyone's locker and said, you know, you need to watch this.
As they should have, because it terrified me.
Right.
And I'm not playing football.
My wife was like, she watched it, and then she said, I had to go check our finances immediately just to make sure stuff was there.
Oh, it's insane. Because
not all of them are going to become, like, commentators. Not all of them are going to become, like, you know, writers.
Yeah,
for,
not all
like,
of them
you
are
know,
that talented, we'll say, at commentating.
Chris, did you spend $100,000 on Magic the Gathering cards?
Maybe.
It'll work out, baby.
It'll work out. I swear, it's an investment.
It's an investment in magic.
It's magic. It's a, there's a Black Lotus in there somewhere.
In my future. Our future. Yeah, our future. Future. Our future.
But no, actually, well, I mean, the NFL does do a good job of making guys aware that, you know, hey, you do need to take care of your finances. You do need to pay attention to this stuff. But unfortunately, a lot of guys, you know, they just either don't listen or don't understand why it's important until it's too late. And
right.
And it's like, wow, I really wish I would have listened.
Well,
to
it's
that.
Not their fault. I mean, like, yeah. They have not been, they've, no one's taught a lot of these guys that. I mean, like, they've probably just, you know, their whole life is sports, 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 sports. They excel. That's the thing they're focusing on. And all of a sudden, they're out of the sheltered environment of an educational institution. And they're just adults with with an endless, seemingly endless supply of money. Why would they have been conditioned to think that that would ever stop?
Yeah, right, exactly. Like, and let's think about it. If you're a 21-year-old and you have a shit ton of money, yeah, you're going to go crazy.
Of course.
Yeah, like exactly. Yeah.
It's not exactly the most mature time of your life.
Oh, my God. I was in a car accident when I was 17 and got a settlement of basically what ended up being like $27,000. Mm-hmm. And to me,
I'm rich.
I was like Hearst. Yeah. You know, like it was like we would just go on these weird shopping sprees, and within 6 months, it was gone. And I was devastated, and I couldn't figure out like where did I have nothing to show for it. Yeah.
So yeah, no, that happens a lot. But you know, hopefully more guys will learn each year, and hopefully it won't be a problem. But I'm not holding my breath.
When did you sort of discover the two sides of your personality? It was like, oh, you know, you or do you see them as different sides or
not really. I view it kind of more as the whole of who I am, that whenever I try to do something, I want to do it to the best of my ability. And so whether that's reading books, playing video games, playing football, raising family, whatever, you know, I'm very focused in on whatever it is that I'm doing.
Yeah.
And so I've been, you know, I tell people I've always been a nerd at heart, and it was more my parents had me do athletics and I turned out to be good at them. When I was growing up, I'd much rather sit inside and read or, you know, play Nintendo or Super Nintendo or whatever. But my parents were like, you know, no, you need to go outside and play also, because that's, you know, you need to be getting outside to get some exercise. Right.
But growing up in Seal Beach, did you also surf or any of that stuff?
No, I body surfed. Mainly it was soccer and baseball. Yeah. Actually, I didn't play football until I got into high school because I needed a fall sport. And I was like, well, I can kick a soccer ball pretty far. Might as well see if I can kick football.
Nice. That worked out pretty well.
Yeah, it was okay.
It'd be funny if they took you out the Nintendo, they're like, stop playing Battletoads, and then you go out into the world and just start fighting toads.
Right, exactly. Yeah. We're trying to pass that stupid speeder bike level that's impossible.
Battletoads?
Yeah. Oh, ridiculous.
We played, I just played Battletoads like a month and a half ago, and it's fucking infuriating.
Yeah, oh,
it's, why are you not? What is, like, you're just doing that. Where is he? No. Why did you shoot? What did you do? Kick him.
Not a good game.
Yeah, no. Not designed well. That was the old design philosophy. Let's just make it react faster than you can. And we'll call it harder.
I didn't mean to. It was a lot of I didn't mean to.
Yeah.
And then dead.
Yeah, it's I actually recently downloaded a bunch of Super Nintendo games on my laptop so my daughters can start playing Super Nintendo.
Oh, nice.
Games.
Did you get the little USB controller
adapter?
Yeah,
the controller. Yeah,
I got to get that.
Yeah, they haven't mastered the mouse and keyboard yet, so
yeah.
Johnny, you've been saying I have to get that for 2 years.
Yeah, I put things up because I know if
like
I do,
$20.
I know, but I know if I do, it's going to be the end of a lot of fucking time.
I just hosted the Dice Awards in Vegas, which are the big
Andrew Dice Play Awards. Yep.
I made a joke about that because the set just said Dice on it. And it was really flashy, and I was like, well, they'll keep the set for Dice's or
and the goes to that's the
Hickory Dickory Dock. This Dragonborn was sucking.
That's from Skyrim.
Yes.
Okay, I didn't know if you
just petered out at the end.
That's what I like to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. My new comedy special is called Petered Out. I never finish a bit.
Yeah.
But I sort of went down this rant because I get so frustrated with it's already like old person syndrome where if kids, you know, you look at a game like Halo 4 or Mass Effect. I mean, like, these are fucking stunning games.
Yeah.
And then, you know, when you hear people go, oh, the game sucks, you're like, you don't fucking know, man. Our, you know, Atari, this is like squares.
Right.
Yeah. Shooting lines at squares. Like, we're, you know, if you were to do a Where Are They Now for...
I'm gonna blow your mind right now, but those lines were just a bunch of tiny squares.
They were just a bunch of tiny squares. But if you, like, you know, if you were to do a Where Are They Now from the, like, Atari's Adventure... Mm-hmm. Like, that protagonist is a period in a fucking sentence because it was just a square. And, like, your imagination had to build everything else around it.
You had to create the world around it. And what's amazing to me is when people rag on, like, iOS games, you know, you are holding in your hands a personal computer that can play any of the video games we grew up playing. It's portable.
Not just a personal computer, a supercomputer.
Right. It's like, you not even realize what you have.
It's too much for, when, you know, N64 came out, I was kind of overwhelmed by the, I love side scrollers and like being able to go anywhere. I was like, this is too much. Tell me what to do and where to go.
This open world thing will never catch on.
I hated that. I didn't play video games for so long because everyone started doing that. I was like, and then every time there's a new side scroller, I go, fucking, I'm getting it.
Or even when they introduced like the Mode 7 scaling architecture in Super Nintendo, you know, where it's like all of a sudden it looks 3D because it's this whole world laid out in front of you. You know, looking back, it looks terrible now, but at the time, it's just like, wow, this is amazing. Like, I've never seen anything.
My mind was blown by the Sonic the Hedgehog 2 when you have to go get the rings when you're running down the tube.
Yeah.
I was like, this is crazy. Yeah. Sonic's got a round head.
Oh my God. Yeah. It's unbelievable.
There was a game.
There are curves. Yeah.
There was a game that I always loved the RPG games. Like, like on PlayStation, there was a game called Wild Arms that was sort of like, it was in the Final Fantasy like RPG realm, which I played the shit out of Wild Arms. And then there was another one that was sort of that 3D set, that forced 3D perspective world, and I can't fucking remember the name of it, but it was, you're basically like a court jester kind of a character.
Okay.
Oh, Void the Noid.
It was not.
No. Yeah.
No, it was the 7-Up guy.
Spot? Yeah.
It's not a Void the Noid.
Sorry. You said court jester.
The Noid wasn't really a court jester. He was just
name another court jester of pizza.
Jonah has a point, Chris. Right.
There is a place called Buzzy's Pizza Circus in the Midwest.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Sounds
so
made
fuck
up.
You. Although technically a circus person is not really a court jester. You're on Xbox? You have Xbox PS3 now?
Xbox PS3. I'm probably going to pick up a Wii U because the last of the Project Rainfall games is coming out. I think it's Xseed is the one.
Okay.
From what I've heard, it's and what it looks like it's not a direct sequel, but in the same universe as Xenogears.
Okay.
And I think they showed a video of it at when Nintendo did their presser. It looks amazing. Like, you know, you've got these huge monsters, the mechs running around, but it's, you know, open world RPG, and it looks really, really cool.
Yeah, that's way up my alley.
Yeah, I wanted them. That's the only thing I'd buy a Wii U for.
I wanted them to I was just wondering when they did the Wii U, and I wanted them to do the Super Wii, so everyone could just say Sweet.
It would totally be worth
it. He's not lying either.
I would love it.
What are you doing today? I'm going to play some Squee.
Squee. I'm going to get my Squee.
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 Squee. Squee.
It would bring joy to everybody.
Did you play any of the games that were nominated for Game of the Year? Like, did you play XCOM or?
Yep, played. They have a. I'm actually in XCOM now because I beat.
What?
Yeah, as a unlockable character, I beat Garth DeAngelis in a head-to-head multiplayer battle on Game Informer.
Now, is that more exciting than like winning a football game?
It kind of was.
Because it was all just him.
Yeah.
I didn't have to fucking share the glory with the team.
Right, yeah, there's no team. That was all me.
Yeah.
All clear. Yeah.
Who gives a shit if I pin him back inside the tent? Right. I just won this video game.
Yeah. I just want to be a video game character.
XCOM's Journey looked really cool, but I haven't played it yet.
Journey won
like 11 awards.
Right, yeah. It looked very arty.
Super arty.
And I heard it's amazing. I haven't gotten it.
You basically, the only control is moving forward.
Right, and you have like this scarf that flaps.
You have a scarf
that
grows as you like, as you, you know, solve things and you run into other people who are playing, and there's this sort of weird glyph chat that you like, you speak, but in weird glyph.
Okay.
And then that's
cool.
It. Mark. It's fucking, the game is gorgeous.
Is it a... side scroller?
No. Well, it's like a 3D. It's like
outward
scroller. I heard the music's really good in it too.
But I know. Chloe, I know. Yeah, the music's great. It is. It's one of those super, super arty games. Mm-hmm. But I know, you know, A lot of people love Borderlands 2 a lot.
Yes. Mm. Huge fan of Borderlands 2.
Well, they named creatures boner farts.
Right, boner farts. And honestly, who does not get excited about what is basically Diablo with guns?
Yeah.
How can you not get excited about that?
Oh my God, the original Diablo just... Yeah. Diablo fucking ruined me. I played that game so much.
Have you played Path of Exile?
I have not.
You should play Path of Exile. It's what Diablo 3 should have been.
Okay.
It's really, really cool. It's basically, it's a, you know, Diablo type action RPG.
Yeah.
The leveling system is like the sphere grid from Final Fantasy X.
Okay.
And then your actual skills is like the materia system from Final Fantasy VII.
Okay.
They're gems. You socket into your armor and weapons and they level up with you and you can
that's
change.
That's fucking
it.
Awesome.
It's amazing.
I love a good gem socket.
Oh, it's so good.
Okay. And that's called
and it's free. Path of Exile, and it's free. It's in open beta right now.
Okay.
And they have basically they have microtransactions that are all aesthetic stuff, like you know, glowy effects, stuff like that. The right way to do microtransactions.
I got stuck for a full day just playing the original Final Fantasy on my iPhone.
Yeah, it's I went through and beat it.
It's fun.
Once my kids learn how to read, they're going to be going through and dying to the wizards in the ice cave.
Is that do you think that's a good way for it's almost that idea of like you know, ontology recapitulates phylogeny, where it's like that idea of recapitulating the evolution of games and the evolution of like the way a child's brain forms.
Right.
Like you're starting them on 8-bit, 16-bit.
Yeah, make your way up. Well, the thing is that I think it teaches an appreciation for a lot of the storytelling that was in older games. Because you look at like, you know, Final Fantasy VI, Final Fantasy IV, Chrono Trigger, stuff like that. A lot of those games had to tell great stories because the graphics couldn't really keep up with what they were doing. So they had to make sure you were invested in the game. And, you know, I think nowadays it's very easy to have flashy graphics and not much else.
Yeah.
And, you know, people be like, oh, it's shiny. I'm going to buy it.
Right.
So, you know, there is something to be said for having kids appreciate the fact that, you know, here's what came before. Video games can tell a good story.
Yeah. So, well, story, it's just in any other, it's the same. There's no different than any other medium is that ultimately the story has to be engaging and the characters have to be engaging and they have to make sense.
Yes. And please, if any Japanese RPG developers are listening, stop putting in the annoying sidekicks. Please. I beg you. Please.
Well, actually, I was going to say Skyrim doesn't have any sidekicks. That's not true. You can pick up followers along the way.
Yeah. I'm talking more like, did you ever play Blue Dragon?
No.
Oh, it's like good combat mechanics, good system, but there was this one sidekick. I had to stop playing the game. I couldn't deal with the annoying, you know, sidekick factor. I was like, I want to throw my controller through the TV right now.
Fuck that guy.
It really was. He had the high-pitched voice and, you know, it was the cute little anthropomorphic creature and it's just like, no, I want to punch you.
In Resident Evil 4, I had to put it on mute every time the president's daughter was around. Just like, Leon! shut up! I don't want to save you! Fucking die! Yeah.
Well, you have that, like, if you... Because in Skyrim, if you reanimate, like if you create dead thralls, depending on whatever kind of character they are, they can get really annoying. Where it's like, you know, you get these like I have this one character, I have this one thrall right now who's a reaver highwayman, and he just sings dumb songs. He's like, oh, down the trails, and oh, yeah, you'll kill your wife, they say. And he just like mumbles to himself, like, can't you just be dead? Can't you just walk and be dead?
You have no vocal cords. Stop speaking.
What is happening? I'm too magically powerful.
Right.
I've made you annoying.
Yeah.
What type of characters do you like to play in an RPG? Are you like a, you know, are you a brute force or are you like a magic user? What do you like?
Usually I gravitate towards brute force / ranged. I'm more of a strength ranged type character. Although in WoW, my main character was a rogue, stealthing. Mm. Although that was primarily because I played on a PvP server. And it was, if you can stealth, you can get away from people and you can also gank them. But if you can't stealth, then you're pretty much easy prey for anyone who can.
Yeah.
So it's I found my natural play style tends to gravitate more towards just hitting things until they die.
Do you?
But range, you need that in your real job.
Yeah, exactly. You need a little bit of precision. The circle is complete.
I just like reading some.
Become the master.
your game day tweets are very funny.
Oh, thank you.
It was just like I can't remember the one that we read on the pilot, but it was something, you know, it was something along the lines.
Right. Yeah.
Of,
where I made make it like a quest.
It's
so funny too, because like half of the people who follow me are just like, "What video game are you talking about?" I'm just like, "I'm talking about the football game."
Well, to most people, it is a video game,
right? Exactly. It's a great fantasy game. You've got all these stats that you know you can look at, and they go up as the season progresses. And you
but have you have
these,
no control over
right,
it.
You have no control. It's like the great you know.
It's a sim.
Yeah, it's the greatest sim ever.
Yeah,
but it drives me crazy, and I think that's one of the reasons why I never. You know, my parents are both fanatical about sports. Like, my mom calls into sports talk radio shows. She knows everything about everything, and my dad's the same way. And for me, I was such a kid who just my emotional way into things was, can I do it?
Right.
And if I can be involved in it, which I assume is a very narcissistic point of view, if I can be involved in it, then it interests me. So like chess, bowling, video games, sci-fi, you know, like
I think if fantasy baseball had been around or fantasy football had been around more prevalently when you were a kid, maybe you would have gotten into it.
It's possible, but I also think that I was so sort of, I was so kind of socially tortured by the people who did those things that I think I just rejected all of it as a whole. It's like, oh, that's all for dickheads.
Those guys are assholes.
Yeah, I don't want to like any, I don't want them to like anything I like, and I don't want to like anything they like. You guys don't like, you don't like programming computers, you don't like video games, fuck you, great. This is my territory.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and I'm actually really the same way. I don't generally watch sports. My wife is a big sports fan. She likes watching football, but like, I won't watch a game, like I won't seek it out, because I'd rather be doing something.
Sure.
I'd rather be, you know, either playing a game or reading a book, or, you know, if a sports game is on, I'm thinking to myself, I could be out playing this. Why am I watching it?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess it's a form of ADD, maybe.
Did you ever play any other positions in football, or was it?
Nope, just punter and kicker. When I came in, I had a separated growth plate in my right arm from baseball, from pitching.
Oh, wow.
So I couldn't do any contact my first year. Then my second year, I tore my ACL in the very first tackling drill I got in.
Gee.
So after that, I took the hint. And I was
were a bargain.
Yeah.
did you tear the ACL of the knee that you kick with?
No, it was my plant leg. I tore the ACL in the knee I kick with my rookie year in the NFL.
Oh my God.
And then fun story, I got to finish out the year kicking on it because the doctors didn't tell me my ACL was torn.
Oh.
They told me after the season. And then they're like, yeah, well, you need to get surgery. You know, we're going to have it done here. I'm like, no, I don't think we're going to have it done here.
Yeah, yeah.
Now that voice you just did for your doctor, was your Dr. Styles from Teen Wolf? Hey man, we're going to have to take care of this shit.
Styles.
In terms of medical advice, kind of, yeah.
So when the ACL, which apparently is
important.
Of the most painful types of surgeries that you can go through, isn't
it's a pretty shitty rehab. It's like 6-7 months, and then it's not really right underneath you for another like 4 or 5 months after that, because you have to be able to trust your knee again, because you haven't been
interest you in some deer antler spray? That'll make that feel all better.
Yeah. So you basically have to take almost a year of your life off.
Yeah, well, it's your knee is stable after 6 months. Like, you can do stuff on it. It's just mentally you have to get used to doing it again. And so, you know, it's some guys it takes longer, some guys it's shorter. I mean, shoot, you look at Adrian Peterson, you know, he came back in like, I think, 8 months, 7 months, 8 months. So, you know, he was able to fully trust his knee. Yeah, which is amazing.
Is there any small part of that's like, yes, I get to stay on my back and play video games all day?
It was pretty awesome. I went through
it's not a small part, Chris.
It's not a small part. I read a lot of books. I think right around that time, Ogre Battle had just been re-released for the PlayStation.
Yeah.
So I had my mom bring in the PlayStation and a TV and just played Ogre Battle the whole day.
Do you play any sports
mom,
games? Or do you
can
just
you
play
bring it? In the PlayStation?
Where's my cheesy boots?
Mom, bathroom.
Yeah. You have to go kick in the NFL, dog.
No, I don't actually play any sports games. That's the one genre I don't play because I'm terrible at them.
Yeah, that's
yeah, because you're just like, why can't we kick again?
Yeah.
Well, I love the idea of the mental game, and I think because you have the kind of brain that you have,
defunct.
Well, defunct, but also, you probably have unimaginable focus, which you know. I mean, obviously, I assume every position on a football field has to have focus. But if you're punting, that is one fucking moment that you have right there.
Yeah, and the thing too is you have to be able to tune out everything else around you, because if you're thinking about anything else, then you're not going to hit the ball well. And you know, if you look at it, there's 10 guys running at you with the sole intent to basically rip you limb from limb.
Right.
And you have a very small time frame to get the ball off. So you just have to not think about that and be like, okay, I trust the guys in front of me are going to block. I'm focusing solely on the ball, and I'm going to kick it to the best of my ability. And then what happens, happens.
Laces out, right?
Yeah, laces out, Dan. Although that's more kicking than punting. But you still need laces out. It really hurts to kick the laces.
Do you kick field goals or do you kick punts?
High school, I did. Then in college, I focused mainly on punting because it looked like that was going to be the way to go going forward. And then, especially once you get to the NFL, you specialize in one or the other because the two motions tend to interfere with each other. And if you try to do both, you'll blow your leg out about halfway through the season.
Oh shit.
Yeah, because it's so much kicking. Because there's no backups in the NFL. You know, you only have 55 guys on your roster, so they can't carry like a backup punter or kicker to take your practice reps for you. So whereas in college, you know, you have like 100, 110 guys on the team. So you have these backups that can take some of the wear off your leg. Whereas in the NFL, you know, you can try to do it both, but you're not going to succeed.
Now what goes through your mind after you flub a kick? Are you able to shake it off, or do you take it pretty hard?
I had to learn how to shake it off in college. I would F-bomb my way all the way to the sideline and then continue because, you know, I was upset. I hit a bad kick. But the thing is, you have to learn to be able to just be like, okay, can't do anything about it now. It's done with. Have to move on to the next kick. Because if you let it affect your next kick and you shank that one, well, you're probably going to be out of a job.
Well, because, you know, also sports fans, the original trolls.
Yeah. Oh, they're terrible, terrible people. I love when people ask me, so why do you kick it to Hester? Oh, I want to strangle you.
I mean, because they, you know, it's there is a lot of like, hey, fuck you, you bum. You don't know what you... I mean, obviously not all sports fans, but you know, people... a lot of responsibility on you guys.
Right. How did the Adam Sandler song make you feel?
Yeah, The Lonesome Kicker.
Yeah,
that's a pretty good song. Yeah. It's one of those things where, you know, fans are they're heavily invested in the game, you know, because they want the team to win, and they also see it as a way to, you know, hey, someone messed up, we can make fun of them, and that's going to make me feel better because, you know, who doesn't enjoy making fun of someone who messes up?
Sure.
Unfortunately, at times when you're the person getting made fun of, it's just like, ooh, you sons of bitches.
And also, you guys, like, all bets are off because you all get paid well.
Right, exactly.
It's like, you know.
Well, and it is part of your job. Your job is to be entertainment. And, you know, for fans, that means they get to yell at you. And so if you don't like it, don't play football. Don't take the paycheck.
Yeah.
Beer and a show.
Yeah.
This is one of these days you're going to snap and then it's like you're going to pull this bone mold mask out of your thing and then just take a scimitar and just run into the stands.
It's going to be straight from Bleach. Just
Have you seen any what are you watching on TV? What movies are you
I don't watch a lot of TV. The shows I am watching are Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones, of course.
Obviously. Yeah. Breaking Bad is really, really good. I need to get into Archer because I've heard that's pretty
it's
hilarious.
Fantastic.
Yeah,
you need to get into
then,
it.
Other than that, not a lot. Like, I really don't watch much at all.
Most of your time goes to
video games.
So your day is probably basically some football stuff. Kids, video games.
Kids, video games.
Sexy time with a wife.
Sexy time, video games.
Video games.
But you got kids, you want.
Video games. Sexy time. Video games.
Or video games with sexy time.
Problem. Little George Costanza style.
Yeah. I think you have to try. I would imagine in a relationship, although I don't, you know, Chloe, my girlfriend, is actually a much more intense gamer than I am.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure a lot of relationships, you know, male or female, have the, how long do I lie here afterwards before it's acceptable to get up again and go play games again?
Well, we have sleepy sex and active sex, where you're either sleepy afterwards or, wow, I'm awake now.
I'm energized. Yeah.
So it's understood that, okay, if it's awake sex, just go do something.
Go play video games.
We got this done. We got our shit.
Yeah. Everyone's happy. Yeah.
Everyone's good. What are we supposed to do? Not play games now? Yeah.
Play games?
We're going to cuddle. We have our entire lives to cuddle.
I have to go play this game now because there's another one coming. Yeah. Well, and you know, DLC has just changed everything because it used to, you know, games used to feel digestible and now they feel a little overwhelming. It's like, oh, this is endless.
Well, it's almost like games, single player games, are being turned into MMOs now because it's constant release of content. And you know, it's great from the game developer's point of view because, you know, you can keep having people come back. But from a player's perspective, it's like, how do I beat a game that never ends?
I think the idea is just, when do I feel like I can stop playing and move on to something else?
When have I gotten closure from this game?
Do you like MMOs or do you like the single players?
I like all games. MMOs I like if there's a good community. Usually I'll try every MMO for at least a month or so just to get a feel for it.
Yeah.
And then if there's good people and it's really kind of drawing me in, I'll keep playing it. If not, you know, I'll move on to something else. But I figure if you get a month's worth out of an MMO, you know, that's a pretty good return for your investment.
Like, that's fantastic. Are you playing one game at a time or do you juggle?
Usually one game at a time until I get through and beat it, and then I'll move on to the next one. I like, because I find that nowadays, especially with games that are more complex, if you take like a 2-week break, you forget a lot of what went on with the game. So, you know, go through one all the way to the end or until I say, okay, I don't want to play it anymore, then move on to the next one.
Yeah. Are there, have you discovered any indie games that you like?
Not a ton. I generally just look more towards the mainstream releases.
Sure.
It's, you know, there's been a couple, I'd say, you know, kind of the smaller, mainly more iOS games, you know, stuff you can play on the iPhone.
Right.
But yeah, nothing that's really grabbed my fancy.
It always drives Chloe crazy. It's like, if we're walking through like Japantown or something, you'll see a store and there's like Angry Birds backpacks, and I'll go, hey, look, honey, Angry Birds, you're a gamer. Yeah. This is fucking drives her crazy. It's just the idea of it. Although, you know, I don't think that we should shit on the casual gamers, you know?
Yeah, people, the old casual versus hardcore.
Yeah,
game.
The casual versus hardcore. Yeah. You know, someone likes play. I fucking love Plants versus Zombies.
Right. Yeah.
You know, but I love the idea now that, because this happened in Plants versus Zombies, and also happened in Skyrim, and it also happens in like Red Dead, where you finish all the main quests, and then just to keep you engaged, all of a sudden the games just start sending you on errands.
Right.
It's like, you know, I built houses in Skyrim with that DLC, the Hearthfire, whatever it was called, or it's like, wait a minute, I'm the Archmage of Winterhold, and I'm sending a house Carl out to buy spackle? What the fuck happened?
can't someone just build this for me?
Yeah, and Plants vs. Zombies, the same thing. It's like they created this Zen garden where it's like, now I have to go in and water all my plants.
I think what it is it's not so much hardcore versus casual, it's good games versus shitty games.
Right.
And, you know, you can tell what a good game is. You know, people have put time into it. People, you know, they want you to experience a story they're trying to tell, whereas a shitty game is it's a cash grab. You know, someone wants to put something out to make money.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you know, well, that's shitty. That makes video games look bad, because, you know, it's just like anything else. If you put out a cheap, shitty product, you know, it makes it look bad.
Yeah. Like, are you a Valve? Do you like Valve games?
I like Valve games. Big fan of Team Fortress and Half-Life. It's Half-Life 3, I'm assuming, will be out some point.
Maybe. Who knows?
The universe.
I told a really bad joke at the Dice Awards, which was that...
Chris, come on, one?
Well, Matt, I'm not going to go through all of them. But it was that I was saying, you know, J.J. Abrams has his hand, because they made this announcement, Bad Robot and Valve, that they want to make games together and potentially a Portal or Half-Life movie. And so I said, you know, I'm so jealous of J.J. Abrams because he's basically just putting his hands in all these things in Hollywood that I want to be involved in. Where it's basically he's like, hey, smell my finger. That's Star Wars. You know, and then the bit sort of went on. It was like, and now, you know, now he's a partnership with Valve, but you can only get two fingers in Valve because they don't go up to three. And it actually played pretty well, the Dice Awards, but no one else would have any idea what I was talking about.
Yeah. Everyone's like, wait, what? Three? What?
Three
what?
Well, when Gabe Newell was on the podcast, we're like, can you even count to three? And he goes, sure, one, two, squirrel. But eventually, I would imagine that something would have to happen. Well, they're working on Steambox, you know, there's... Do you think we're going to be over-deviced?
I think we'll probably be over-deviced at some point before it collapses down into one or two devices.
Sure.
And that, you know, computers are just so powerful nowadays that really it's just getting a standardized device that's easy to program games for.
Sure.
I mean, I saw the Ouya, the Kickstarter one that they're trying to come up with. You know, they're kind of heading in that direction. But, you know, at some point it will be the phone you have in your hand, or, you know, your entertainment server you have in your living room will be able to play any type of, you know, media. And at that point, you know, you don't really need another device. You just need games.
Well, it's all licensing, though. It's all the companies willing to license and not create proprietary hardware so that they can distribute their own titles. And it's, you know, I hope sometime within the next 5 years we have the experience where, you know, I'm playing a game on my Xbox, but I got to go somewhere. So then I can port the game over to my phone and pick up where I left off.
Right,
and, you know, like the graphics are... like we're pretty much there.
Yeah. And again, I think it's going to be when you get to that point where someone creates a cheap enough hardware that does that, and people will be like, okay, we need to have this piece of hardware. At that point, the game developers gonna be like, okay, well, we have to develop for this because that's where the money's gonna be. That's where the market is.
Yeah.
So, you know, once we get there, I think that's where you see everything will kind of collapse down into that one stage.
Do you think a post NFL Chris Clue has a game development? Gene,
Don't pull a Curt Schilling.
He actually came. He asked me to invest in his company. You know, back when they were looking for angel investors and stuff. And, you know, he was looking at it like, yeah, our game's going to be as successful as WoW. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just like, no, your game's not going to be as successful as well.
I think you guys aren't aware of it. Curt Schilling, after he retired from baseball, he's such a WoW player, he decided, I'm going to start my own video game studio called 38 Studios. That was his number on the Red Sox.
So they
went to Rhode Island, hit them up for how much money?
It was like $90
million. $90 million.
State-funded money.
State-funded money. Try to get a bunch of investors to get this video game going. And then, didn't happen.
Was it McFarlane that was doing? No. Was he doing the character?
What, Todd? Todd McFarlane?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It might have been Todd McFarlane.
The one author.
But he accidentally got Seth McFarlane.
I don't think it was Seth McFarlane. No, it's like advising, and then R.A. Salvatore was like, writing the plot. So, all these huge names, but they just ended up, it's an MMO. It's a money sink. And the thing is WoW is the exception, not the rule. Nothing is going to approach WoW because it hit it just that right time where everyone's like, this is really easy to get into. It's really entertaining. I'm forming these social bonds with all these other people. I'm going to keep playing it.
Well, it's also, I think, it's the kind of, it's the big media thinking that I think fucks up the way media actually works now, which is, or digital media anyway, which is, these companies come in and they're like, well, let's just spend $100 million. Like,
right.
No, you kind of have to build it. You have to make sure the heart of what you're making is solid.
Yeah, your core has to be good because that's what's going to keep people coming
then
back.
You can build out from there, but don't spend $100 million right off the bat. Spend a little bit of money, build a small community around that. Listen to your fans, listen to your audience, let it evolve with them.
Right.
Rather than just trying to throw, you just can't, so much of big media just like tries to throw a bunch of money at nerd culture and then they just kind of stand there at the bottom of a slot machine like, where's the gold?
Yeah, why aren't these guys buying in? Yeah. And if you look at WoW, Blizzard had a huge ton of credit built up with StarCraft and Warcraft.
Sure.
I mean, people knew that Blizzard was a company that made good games.
I played the original Warcraft. I played Warcraft 1, Warcraft 2, and StarCraft. Mm-hmm. And I was lucky that those games were closed where it was just like...
Right, yeah, it wasn't an open system.
You'll finish it, and then you'll move on. Yeah.
Otherwise, you would have been playing them forever.
I just knew, like I said, the second I heard about World of Warcraft, I was like, oh, yeah, I can't go near that. I cannot go near that.
It's pretty addictive.
That's probably like Charlie Sheen going like, oh, I shouldn't move into a mountain of cocaine.
Right, yeah.
I probably shouldn't be near that.
Yeah, it's with 40 porn star butleresses.
Who are also made of cocaine.
Yeah, yes. I'm gonna have some problems here.
Yeah, that's not going to be good.
Yeah, no, I don't think there's a video game future after the NFL. I mean, it's so hard to, make a game company work, especially, I have ideas for an MMO, but, I'm realistic about the probabilities of, something like that succeeding. And
sure.
I think they're good ideas. I'd love to show them to people.
Yeah.
But it's not something that I'm going to be, okay, I can guarantee you're going to see a return on your investment if we make this game. Because, that's not how it works.
It is interesting to me that you live these two disparate existences where, you part of your reality is sitting in front. I mean, I know you have family, but I mean, but the two sort of hobbies is you're sitting in front of a game, even though you're connected, still very isolated. It's just you and a screen. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, you're afforded this opportunity to go out in front of 50,000 people.
And a couple million on TV.
And a couple million on TV and be... But it's not, I mean, how does that feel? I mean, can you compare that to anything or is it just your life?
Yeah, it's just my life, I guess. I mean, I've always, like I said, I've always enjoyed doing well, at whatever it is I choose to do. And, I've always been able to play sports at a very high level. And so I'm used to that. And then, I've always enjoyed playing video games and generally at a fairly high level. I beat most people I play against.
Yes.
kind of have that competitive gene.
Someone just dropped his dick on the table.
Yeah. Womp EP.
Damn.
But I guess that's just who I am. It's whatever I'm doing, that's what I'm focusing on at that moment. And, it's, I guess, just how I live.
What does that feel like to... Because as a comedian, the most people I will probably ever perform for at one time is around 2,000 at the most, if I'm lucky. But, but a stadium, is it just a fucking blur at that point?
I'd say you probably actually have more of a personal connection when you perform because I've noticed in a stadium... When you're on the field, people are, 60, 70 yards away from you because you're out there in the middle and everyone else is in the stands. Whereas if you're, on stage, like performing comedy, or I'm in a band also, I play bass, and mm-hmm. when you're performing on stage as a band, people are right there in front of you, and you can see their reactions. You can see how they're going. Whereas football, you're focusing on the football, on the guy running the football back, and on not getting your head knocked off by someone coming to block you.
Right.
So you're not really paying attention to the crowd.
Have you ever thought about, and I don't know if your organization would let you do this, but basically playing a bass line as you go to punt the ball. do, whack.
No, no, it'd be like do.
I might be able to do it after I punt, just as like, you know, a celebratory dance type thing. But yeah, doing it beforehand might frown on that.
You'd be the first guy to get fined for a punt celebration.
Do you have any idea how worth it that would be?
Posse the bass.
Someone, you kick the ball and then it just lands in your hand.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty amazing.
I mean, for one time, it would be worth it.
It would be pretty funny.
The last game.
Yeah, last game.
I wonder what the fine would be for that.
Although I may do the Skyrim arrow to the knee at some point.
Yes, of course.
You're like, oh!
I used to be a punter.
Yeah, I used to be a punter until I took an arrow to the knee.
Until I took a six-string bass to the knee.
Yeah, I gave you a six-string bass.
Wow, you're really going for it.
Crazy metal bass.
No kidding.
I mean, it's just like,
that's a lot more coordination than I think I have.
Yeah. I don't think he has a
fretless six-string
stand-up
bass. Oh, the stand-up bass players fucking blow me away.
Yeah, it's crazy. They're just like,
yeah.
And there's no.
Where do you know?
Yeah.
It's just they're fucking robots. They're so you have to go to the exact place. Yeah.
The muscle memory is there.
Well, when to spin it?
Yeah, when to spin it, when to slap the sides of it. It's
when to make this face?
Ooh. Yeah.
They all love to do that.
Mama.
Actually, I played violin growing up, so it actually gave me a very good ear for music. And that helped a lot, learning the bass. But yeah, it's a lot of muscle memory, a lot of practicing, and just learning to recognize when a note is right and when a note is off.
Yeah.
Same thing with trombone.
That's true. I guess that's true. Did you play the trombone?
You did
play the trombone.
You
guys, wait
a
minute.
That was perfect.
We have. There's a band here.
Thank you for noticing.
There's a band here. We got guitar, trombone. We got bass. We got drums.
And I scat.
Ooh.
Oh.
Scoot-a-bap.
Are you a scat man?
Scat man. Yes, I shit all over myself.
Oh, I had to take it there.
Oh, this was the only other one.
So what's next for you, Chris? What's next for you?
I have a book coming out, actually.
What?
I do many things.
Is the book I'm About a Video Violin. Game Punting Violinist?
No, actually, it's called Beautifully Unique Sparkle Ponies. It's it's about empathy and kind of, you know, treating people the right way and various random stories that I write down. Because I don't know if you saw the letter I wrote to Delegate Burns.
That's a great letter.
Oh, you didn't?
No. Okay.
Did you not know this?
I'll have to send it to you.
Please pardon my ignorance and tell me.
I told a Maryland delegate named Emmett Burns, so Mr. Burns, which is perfect.
Excellent.
He called out a player of the Ravens for supporting same-sex marriage. He's like, you know, you shouldn't be doing this, yada yada, you know, you're a terrible person. And he wrote it on official Maryland state stationery and referred to his constituents, which was a pretty clear violation of the First Amendment if I ever saw one. But so I wrote him a letter back saying, you know, why are you so upset? If gay people get married, it's not going to turn you into a lustful cock monster.
Yeah.
Did you? Among other words.
Yeah. It was great.
And it went kind of viral. Yeah. All of a sudden, people were just like, this letter's amazing.
It was incredible because it was funny and it was heartfelt and it like made a great point. And like, not only were you like sticking up for marriage equality or just equality and human rights, but like for like a, you know, like it was like very like to like shit on that guy for using that, the letterhead,
right,
and
yeah.
for just picking on a dude that like voiced an opinion. Like it was a whole bunch of stuff.
For
amazing.
A guy who, how dare he try to live his life and be happy and not bother anyone else with it.
It was great.
It's funny because my writing style I learned from the World of Warcraft Realm forums, where it's a pretty terrible place.
It's a beautiful letter.
People there have a lot of opinions, I wonder?
Oh, they have a few.
Did you write your letter in all caps?
No, there were a couple all caps moments. but more ironically and sarcastically.
I don't know how I missed this. I'm disappointed in me. That's bad interneting on my part.
Yeah, you should.
I go on Reddit too. That surely would have been homepage.
Yeah, it was front page.
It was a beautiful, like, you know, equal rights moment.
Yeah.
You know,
so yeah, it'll basically be stuff like that, you know, kind of why won't you let other people live their own lives and things, various reflections. So
there's a million things you can do after the NFL. You could give motivational speeches, you could play violin.
You'll be the new Bo Jackson.
The world is my mollusk of choice.
It is.
The new Bo Jackson.
New Bo Jackson sounds like a weird...
New Bo Jackson is my favorite music outside of New Jack Swing.
It is. Yeah, New Bo Jackson.
New Bo Jackson just sits at his house and makes arrows.
Yeah. New Bo Jackson's back again.
This next song is also called Bo Knows.
Whoa.
Just the sound of a bat being snapped over his knee.
Every single... But then I always want to make a face of Bo joke.
Yeah, you could. I mean, if you want.
Are you
to.
A Doctor Who fan at all?
No, I need to get into it.
That's one. That's a show you would enjoy.
I have the first season, and I need to watch it. And my friend, actually, the guitarist in our band, he's a huge movie, TV series guy. He has all of the Doctor Who stuff, along with you know, every other TV show
I'm
ever.
I'm just going to throw this out here. If you're going to start season one, first episode's pretty slow.
I heard the first couple.
You mean the real seasons, of the reboot?
Yeah, you gotta kind of wade through them. But.
And it's not that like one of those things where it's like, no, you got to keep on watching it because then it makes it worth it. Which is like, you know, most serialized TV.
Right.
This is like, it's like, oh, you can see where they're going and the ideas and the moments are good. It's just like it's the clunkiness.
It's just, episode one feels like a pilot.
Yeah.
Episode two, I was immediately like, episode one, I was like, this is cute. You know, this is a cute reboot. Episode two, way on board. Mm-hmm. Episode three, cemented.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, I highly recommend
it. Yeah. No, that's one I definitely am planning to get into at some point. Cause you know, obviously everyone references it. Everyone loves the Doctor and the TARDIS. No.
What are you looking forward to? For summer wise, are you looking movie wise?
There's going to be a wedding.
What?
Yeah. No spoilers.
Okay.
But, new Game of Thrones,
movies, anything you want to see in the theater?
Not particularly.
Are you not going to go see the new Die Hard with me? That's cool. Whatever.
When did that? I had no idea that was coming out.
Yeah.
And that's a good day to Die Hard. I just saw it on the Vista Theater. I was like, when did they make that? And it's coming out in 3 days.
I'm stoked.
The last one was so fucking crazy.
It was great.
What's the deal with them just recycling all the old action stars? Like,
what's a bullet in the head I heard is fucking ridiculous. And what's the Last Stand is supposed to be so dumb. It's awesome.
I watched that. Oh, did I watch that?
How can you not love Arnold Schwarzenegger and Johnny Knoxville?
Robert Kirkman said he fucking loved The Last Stand. He was like, it's so ridiculous. It's exactly the movie you
still need. Like, that's the thing. They still need to make schlock. Schlock still has to have his place for bad movie nights and fucking hanging out with your friends.
I think they should do like the Wes Craven's New Nightmare thing with Die Hard. And there's some kind of terrorist attack while filming the next Die Hard movie. it'd be Die Hard.
It's so meta. Meta Die Hard.
That was what was great about New Nightmare.
I was explaining this to Jonah. There's this conceit in The Last Stand that just made me so my head almost exploded. So this, you know, drug lord from Mexico escapes federal custody and is driving. He's going to drive across the border in a stolen Corvette Camaro. Yeah, it was a Corvette ZR1, right? Mm-hmm. He's going to drive across the border in Schwarzenegger's town. There's a scene where they're like, where at the FBI, where they're talking about how this fucking drug cartel leader, he was good, man. He raced cars. I'm like, what do you mean he raced cars? Under an assumed name in South America, he raced on the circuit. And then Forrest Whitaker goes, yeah, I saw him. He's real good too. I'm just like, on the circuit.
That was someone who was like, that was just that. You know what? That is an example of temp dialogue. They're like, well, we'll do a little more research.
Yeah, we'll fill this in later.
I thought you were going to research. I thought you were going to research. We already shot it.
God damn it! Yeah.
And then they just let him start improvising. Yeah, man, his car could fly.
Yeah, man. Yeah,
someone put on the Fast and Furious. And just fucking go with
it. Yo, man, they were drifting.
Yeah,
Tokyo drifting.
Yeah. Shanghai drifting. Philippine drifting. All the drifts.
There was the Beijing drift in there.
Yeah, all
fast
the
fiving.
All
the fast fiving.
There was
Vin Dieseling engines.
No, that's a guy.
Just what?
Vin Dieseling engines.
We got there.
It's a brand new engine. It's really fast.
They were Vin Diesel is a big D&D guy.
I've heard that. I have heard that.
Did you play traditional D&D? Or
I did for a bit. Once I got into college, it was tough to find gaming groups.
Yeah.
With also, you know, sports and stuff.
Sure.
Also, my
that was the most perfect sentence. It was tough to find gaming groups with, you know, sports
and stuff. We forgot and stuff.
Yeah.
Hey, wait, where'd you go to college?
UCLA.
Hey, I went there.
Yeah, that's
really.
Oh God.
Yeah, I did a show there recently, and I was walking by a room, and it was just like real quiet. Everyone's there. I was like, "Oh, it must be a study hall." And then I hear a guy going, "Okay, now you've entered a cave." And I was like, "Yes."
Yeah, I went to UCLA.
It really liked D&D, really liked Shadowrun. Just the traditional pen and paper RPGs. The other problem was my group of friends. Like, we'd start a campaign, but then we wouldn't finish it. Like, no one, would keep it going.
Yeah.
So it was tough to get up for another campaign when I was like, okay, well, we're just going to stall out halfway through.
Yeah.
It's good to do one-nighters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's what I loved about this podcast so far. If I didn't say your name and we did not talk about football, people would be like, the nerds just had like the fucking nerdiest guy I've ever heard. Yeah, little did they know, he's an actual Viking. Yeah. He's in the NFL.
It probably is. This probably is our nerdiest episode.
It's one of them.
Yeah.
Oh, it's up there. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean, that's what we're supposed to talk about, right? Nerd stuff?
We're supposed to talk about the things that we love.
Yeah, and well, nerd stuff.
And there's some, and by the way, I love your aliens.
Oh, thank you.
Your alien
shirt.
I saw
that on IO9. The guy, they had a link to it. I was like,
but this just exposes the big flaw with the alien, which is the tiny mouth. What the fuck purpose is that? Other than to be scary on film.
It's a penis.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, no, one eats the face, and the little mouth goes into the esophagus and sucks out the innards.
Yeah, and the tongue.
I'm listening. Yeah. All right.
That's probably where...
Just the tongue?
Your newsletter intrigues me.
Oh, my tongue.
You know, the taste buds are probably all in the tiny mouth, and the big mouth is really for just tearing the bigger...
Well, getting stuff out of the way so the tiny mouth can get in and get to it.
Yeah. It's all about the tiny mouth.
That goes in the stomach so they can digest stuff. The rest is just fucking chomping.
Tiny mouth.
It's not because H.R. Geiger had penises and everything he drew.
Yep.
Not at all.
If H.R. Geiger and George O'Keefe got together.
Nice. Odd. Sexy. That's the fucking art porn.
It would just be like the piece would be titled Sexplosion.
Yes. Yeah. H.R. O'Keefe. Yeah. It's just like these weird alien flowers with dick pussies.
Oh, man. I'd have to ask H.R. O'Keefe to head down to HR because that's really offended.
Yeah, because the new head of HR, H.R. Puffin stuff, is down there and he's got a sack full of buttons.
Yeah,
to
but he's
got to
go run because Bad Brains are playing across the town.
Well, we ended this nicely.
Oh my god, this was so much fun, Chris. I love that. And again, this is the fun power of Twitter, where Twitter basically set us up on a mandate. They're like, you should be friends, get together. We're like, okay.
It's awesome. That's the great thing about social media is that it allows, from a football perspective, it allows you to interact with fans in a way that before you couldn't. Like, you see people at games and at training camp and that's it. You're never able to talk to people because you're just out there playing football.
Right.
Whereas with social media now, you can talk to anyone who wants to talk to you.
Let me ask you this. Are you able to connect with other players on your team? Are you able to go into that mode or do you?
Well, they just know me as the nerdy guy who punts the football, and that's just who I am.
Right.
Hey, guys. Yeah. You need me again? Oh, no, not yet? Okay.
Oh, it's not fourth down yet? We're not in the red zone. I just
call me when you need me, then.
You need me. it's great because they'll come up and be like, hey, what games are out? What should I get? They'll ask for game recommendations and stuff like that. And, we talk about other stuff, too. Once guys are...
Do they ever go, hey, Chris, do you want to play Madden? And then you go, no!
No! Yeah. Get the fuck away from me. I don't play sports games. Nerd.
Why would I want to play Madden? We play Madden in life.
Yeah. It's real life Madden.
This is Madden.
We're LARPing, damn it.
Yes, this is. We're Madden LARPers. Oh my god, you're Madden LARPing. Holy shit.
It's great. I mean, because, the thing is that you see football players out on the field and a lot of people think that's all you are as a football player. But in the locker room, guys are guys just like anyone else.
Rolling up the towel, right. Flicking each other with rat tails,
wrestling
on the ground with no clothes on.
Right. How many times have you heard, yeah, baby, that's what I'm talking about? It sounds like a thing you would hear a lot at a football game. Yeah, baby, it's what I'm talking about.
Occasionally.
Okay.
Occasionally.
Are there those cinematic pep talks where it's halftime or whatever and everyone's kind of got their heads down, the coach comes in and is like, listen up, girls, you better wake it up out there. You can do it. Like, is there any of those moments?
Not really, because it's more of a business atmosphere in that, guys will get amped up. You'll be like, look, we're not playing well. We got to fucking focus for the next half because, we don't want to lose. Because ultimately, if you lose, you have a chance of losing your job. That's, you know, not a good thing.
Sure.
So, but yeah, I'd say at least on the Vikings, you know, I can only speak from personal experience. We haven't had a ton of stuff like that where, you know, some rah-rah, like, you know, really like Ray Lewis kind of speaking. Like, we don't have that on the Vikings.
Someone just leans in and goes, hey, guys, if you fall below the bottom line, you're going to get fired.
Yeah.
just so you know. Anyway, right. Yeah. Have a good game.
Yeah. Well, and that's kind of after you spend any amount of time in the NFL, that's the underlying, you know, understanding that everyone comes to is that if you don't perform, you're going to get cut.
Yeah.
And, you know, there goes the paycheck. So it's really guys have a vested interest in playing to the best of the ability in trying to win because, you know, it puts food on your table.
And was there anything, and then just the sort of in conclusion, is there anything that you were able to take from video games and port over to NFL?
Just trying to get the next level, be the best that I can be.
Or it's just a game.
Yeah. That is true, too. I mean, the fact is that you have to be able to be highly invested in the game when you're out on the field so you can play to the best of your ability. But once the game is over, you have to be able to push it off to the side and be like, okay, I'm done. I'm going back to my real life because it is just a game.
Yeah.
It's entertainment.
Because you can't take that. You can't take your work home with you and like be playing with your kids and going like, oh, God.
I fucked up in this game. I'm going to throw my baby against the wall.
That is harsh, Chris. Is harsh. Calm down.
Wow, Ray Lewis.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
He punted his baby.
He stabbed his baby.
I imagine, but my guess is that you probably get madder at video games than
The worst is when you feel like the computer's cheating. That's absolute worst.
Oh, because it fucking does.
It does. Of course it does.
It's like, of course it does. It's smarter than
us. You know what I have in my hand, and you play the exact counter. That's bullshit.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you're basically playing against a slot machine that's programmed to
win.
Around you.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Well, this was fucking awesome to have you on, and I might actually start. That you might be my emotional way into watching a football. I've never watched a football game all the way through, so you might be my emotional way in.
Yeah. Well, the good news is you can tune in for like 5 seconds out of every hour, and you'll catch everything that I do.
And that's it. There he is.
Don't back. Try and catch him on NFL Red Zone.
Yeah,
he'll never be.
I was on there once.
Oh, you were.
Yeah,
I don't know what that is.
Yeah. Perfect. The Detroit game this year, I pinned him at like the one with, and they had, you know, like a minute left to try and drive the field to win, and they showed it on the NFL Red Zone.
Yes!
I was like, yes! Punter on the Red Zone. The Red Zone is...
NFL, it's only within the scoring distance. Yeah.
Within the 20-yard line.
So a punter would never typically be on that show. On that
got
show.
It!
Yeah.
I think they even talked about World of Warcraft on it.
What?
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome.
That's pretty
cool.
The
best is when they get the quad screen going. Oh my God. There's four games happening.
It's quad screen.
Vin Dieseling it.
Thanks for being here, Chris, man. It's really good to see you. And I hope that we get to do more fun stuff. Like, if you want to make some silly video game stuff.
Yeah, let me know. I am in Huntington Beach during the off season, so
sweet.
I am in the area.
HB.
HB, brah.
All right, enjoy your burrito, everyone.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
Hey, listeners, it's Will Arnett. Our podcast, Smartless, has crossed a milestone that seemed unfathomable when we started nearly 4 years ago, as we've just released our 200th episode. Join us as we welcome the dynamic duo of hilarity, Steve Martin and Martin Short. You've seen them on screen together in The Three Amigos, Father of the Bride 1 and 2, and most recently, and only Murders in the Building. Both are comedic geniuses in their own right, but together they are always electric. And this episode of Smartless is no exception. I don't know if I've laughed more in a single episode than this one. We discuss their career arcs both separately and as a comedy team, how they met, who is more difficult to work with, and what motivates them today. Is Steve a better banjo player than Marty as a singer? Find out on this bicentennial episode of Smartless. Follow Smartless in the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to Smartless ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Plus, you get to hear Sean cry. What a loser!